Hey Thompson.
Hello, you're looking very dreamy there. The blurred camera.
I thought you were talking about my haircut. I was like, oh, thanks, man. Yeah, gents, good evening. Give everyone a few minutes while we're waiting. Anybody have any wins they want to share this week? Ooh. Nothing good? Nothing. A shame. Chaz, good man, getting your steps in. Robert, how's everything with you, brother?
I was just gonna say I think my win is I'm still alive. I've been down with influenza A for the last 2 weeks. It's been pretty brutal. So it's been going around the family as well. So I've a few trips to hospital with the kids and myself, and so I think my win is this is the first day I'm gonna try get outside in the sun for a walk and see how my lungs go.
That bad, was it? It hit everybody.
It's just coming in here, right? Southern Hemisphere. So we get the benefit of your nice Northern Hemisphere to try to work out our vaccine, but I didn't get the flu vaccine time. And man, it's brutal this year. It's a solid week and a half of a super high, like 38 degree fever. So just coming off the back of that, even though the fever's gone now, I'm just crash, like I'm exhausted, my body's cooked.
Shit. So how are the kids? They okay
Yeah, the little jerks, they bounce back so much quicker.
now?
And then like they can just go to bed and rest.
No such luck for us, eh?
Nah.
I'm glad you're feeling better, brother. That's good to hear.
Looking forward to seeing some sun on my face today. I barely left the house.
I bet. Anybody else want to have a win they want to share? No? Okay. So today we're going to go
I'll
through.
share one.
Go ahead, John.
So today I did my first dual dumbbell chest press, and I evened out the weight. I determined it on based what my left shoulder could do, but
Nice.
making nice progress, I think.
That's awesome. John just had his external rotator reattached. So long road back. He's done amazing. One of the good guys who was a really good responder. I think I discussed this in our last one. One of the really good responders to BPC 157. Doesn't always happen that way for everybody. Some people don't get any response from it, but John seemed to respond really well for him in terms of rehab and then all the rehab work he was doing on top of that. So back in the full swing of things now, which is great to see. Oh, actually, gents, hold on one second. My laptop's about to run out of battery. Just let me grab my charger. Thanks, guys. So, anybody here actually ever flagged with low testosterone on a blood test? John? No? Jeff, you good? So, when we look at testosterone, people will often assume and look straight to a variation of testosterone boosters. Whether you look at Tribulus, you guys probably heard of Tongkat Ali and stuff out there. And they often regard like this is the first place that we're going to start when we try and fix a low testosterone level. That's without looking at what trying to find what the underlying mechanism might be as to why testosterone is actually low in the first place. There's normally something wrong. Now, if it's age related, as we tend to see in females, just like as we do in males, we get an element of andropause at some stage, and testosterone levels will gradually decline as we get older. Whether we consider that natural or not, but we do tend to see declines in testosterone as we age. However, we're starting to see it more in 30s and 40s than what we've seen for any part of testing history. And testosterone levels on average are consistently declining decade by decade. Now, to why that may be the problem, people will tend to jump to esoteric things. They'll tend to look to some, you'll hear people talk about vaccines, you'll hear people talking about some of that kind of stuff that's so much harder to quantify when realistically there's a much clearer reason as to why testosterone is declining as the years go on. I'll go through some of those in detail. I can't go through any of the slightly more nuanced stuff on the call today, but we'll go over the major reasons as to why testosterone tends to drop as we get older or why it tends to drop in general. Let's see. Yeah, we'll come in and out here. Does anybody here actually use any supplementation directly for testosterone? Or they will consider as directly for testosterone? Either shout it out or you can put it in the chat. I'm not necessarily against any of them. I think they probably have a little bit of a place. The thing that I always concerned, and when you look at a lot of these supplements, so we'll use Tongkat Ali because it's the one that tends to get touted a lot, and there's research out there showing 10 to 20% increase in testosterone. If your testosterone is flagged low and you're sitting somewhere around two, say 300 to make the math easy, if you increase it by 20%, that'll bring your testosterone to 360. Getting your testosterone to 360 is going to do nothing for how you feel, and it's going to do nothing for performance. So, tends to be why I look, say, down on those supplements. I think they can be used as part of a plan, but if we can look first to see what the actual problem is, then we may be able to figure out mechanistically how we can actually improve testosterone rather than just trying to put a band-aid on the problem. So why do we have low testosterone? We'll discuss the web of low testosterone. So there always seems to be, when you look at any condition, there seems to be a web of all these different issues. And normally you're trying to find the biggest lever that you can pull within that to try and get the most influence. Nutritionally is difficult. We will touch on it briefly, but nutritionally can be a little bit more difficult because it'll very much depend on the position that you're in the first place. I'll mention it now before I discuss it later. Like, high blood sugar is a major issue around low testosterone. It's why there tends to be an inverse relationship between blood sugar or HbA1c. The higher that goes, the lower testosterone tends to go in response. So you'll spot it in type 2 diabetics tend to be quite deficient in testosterone in males, for example. So nutritionally, we'll just go through some brief stuff as to the benefits of certain things. We'll touch on supplements and we'll touch on lifestyle. Lifestyle is probably, outside of obviously if you have an excess amount of body fat, is probably the biggest lever that most of you guys can pull to get your testosterone to increase. Now, symptoms of andropause, it's the new phrase that you tend to hear out there instead of hearing menopause. You'll normally hear manopause or andropause. So as testosterone drops in males as we age, there is dramatic side effects to low testosterone in males. We often, although females are widely underrepresented in medical literature, but in regards to menopause or aging and hormonal status, men are massively underappreciated in this circumstance. Although testosterone replacement is becoming a bigger deal now, which I think is a good thing. But when you look at low testosterone, there are some of the symptoms. And like you said, depression and sadness And low motivation, low confidence, those kind of things are dramatically associated with low testosterone. So you could see why some people might be low testosterone, but really they're presenting in a depressed state, and then therefore they're given something like an SSRI or an antidepressant, right? When fixing the problem or giving them testosterone might actually give you a bigger lever to pull for these people. And I think it is beginning to get recognized in a much better way. But then sometimes what I see in a lot of people, particularly in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, is maybe there's an underlying reason as to why testosterone is low, and not necessarily to jump straight just to testosterone replacement, because that comes with its own side effects that you have to mitigate as time goes on. So we'll touch on some of the things that tend to lead to low testosterone. And there's a few things in here I'll explain. The high blood sugar we discussed, pretty significant. When people have elevated blood sugar, it will aromatize your testosterone. So we always think of estrogen as the enemy. It's not per se. It's actually quite protective for males and females. But when it becomes excessively elevated, it becomes a real problem. So when we have really high blood sugar, our testosterone's only got two ways it can go. It can turn into DHT, which is associated with muscle growth in males, hair growth in the body, unfortunately, baldness on top. And then it can either get aromatized into estrogen. So when we keep increasing aromatase, the testosterone we do produce or inject will get, or a lot of it will get aromatized and will turn into estrogen. And that's when you see in males who start to present with gynecomastia, for example, or you'll see in some males who become overly emotional, comparable to what they used to be like. That can be because of that. Toxic exposure, we're not going to touch on here. It's too long and too nuanced, really, because a lot of the guys won't know here if they're getting toxic exposure, similar to heavy metals, right? We just don't know for a lot of the guys in here whether that's a problem. Liver health, poor sleep, brain health, poor gut health plays a big role here, surprisingly, in relatively newer research. But then hormonally, you'll see, which I see a lot in guys these days, is high prolactin. High prolactin is a hormone release that's responsible for female lactation. And it can become elevated in males. I like to tell, like, so it can also make males more emotional. I'll tell you guys a story, and it's one of the ones that really hit me in regards to prolactin. I used to have a client, this is going way back, and former heavy testosterone user, MMA fighter, early 30s, and he had decided to come off testosterone by itself, but without using anything, just came off long-term testosterone use. And he would stay up late to watch MMA, but he had really high estrogen, really high prolactin, really low testosterone afterwards. And he would find himself just watching males fight and break out in tears because he found it overly emotional. And that just shows that hormonally can dramatically affect males in a situation that he would be really comfortable in for such a long period of time. And now all of a sudden it's something that made him so emotional it brought him to tears. So it shows the power and the potency of some of these hormones in males when they get dysregulated. Direct testicular damage. So if you got, for want of a better phrase, you ever got booted in the nuts, can cause issues. Now, we'll talk here about primary and secondary hypogonadism a little bit, just a little bit. Like, primary is direct damage to the testes. So, secondary then would be a brain problem, a signaling problem. But the testicles are really susceptible to outside influence and not just blunt force trauma, like I mentioned. So, you'll see over here inflammation and oxidative stress. The testicles, so we've got Sertoli cells and we got Leydig cells. Sertoli cells make sperm, Leydig cells make testosterone. And within the testicles, we have You guys have probably heard of like the gut barrier or the blood-brain barrier. These protective barriers stopping food, like big chunks of food from our stomach leaking into our bloodstream, and our blood-brain barrier stopping negative or noxious supplements getting into our brain. We have a testes barrier as well. And it's really susceptible to stuff like inflammation, oxidative stress, the heavy metals, toxic exposure, those kind of things. So we can have direct damage to the testicles, not just from blunt force trauma, but also from the food that we eat and the environment that we're exposed to. And the testicular barrier is super sensitive. When you look at even in when they look at male semen samples, for example, you can have good floaters and you can have loads of swimmers, but even if they have a lot of oxidative stress, then you find that the female doesn't get pregnant in those circumstances. One of the other bones, obviously, you see stuff like low protein, low cholesterol, low fat. Brain trauma is a big one. Anybody have history of traumatic brain injuries, TBIs? No? Maybe.
Yeah, a lot of blast impact from my time in the army, a lot of heavy explosions and stuff. Quite a few of me and my mates have got TBIs from that.
I've had a few, yeah, probably not quite as bad as that. I've had a few, average boxer for a long period of time, so I got a few traumatic brain injuries. It can have a massive effect on secondary hypogonadism. So you'll find a lot of guys who had a lot of TBIs tend to flag with low testosterone. And they call it like the second hit theory. So it's very rarely the first TBI that does it. It tends to be the second one that does the damage for a lot of people. It's why, like, similar, like TBIs are often associated with depression, not because of low testosterone, but because of that same mechanism. So it's important to recognize as well, if you guys have had a lot of TBIs and you're flagging with low testosterone, it might be a slightly more difficult thing to unravel in that circumstance if it's a brain-derived problem. But worth noting for you guys if you ever have had issues with that. And then, so they're all like, but then when you look at like the mechanisms or the big, like the web of it, like I know we touched on the brain and traumatic brain injury can play a role here for sure. Gastrointestinal symptoms is surprisingly showing a lot of research. There's this thing called the gelding effect, is what they call it, where if the bacteria from your gut, its outer shell, gets into circulation, it can cause direct damage to the testes. So they're called lipopolysaccharides, and they do cause real issues. So you'll see it generally. Well, you tend to see this combination of type 2 diabetes, leaky gut, low testosterone. So there tends to be a web there as well. And that's where we're touching on like high blood sugar. If you have or have had elevated blood sugar, not just acutely, right? We all have crappy meals every once in a while. But if you have systemic long-term high blood sugar, like if you're pre-diabetic, the damage tends to occur surprisingly past a HbA1c of 5.5. So even before people get pre-diabetic, you start to see testosterone begin to drop. You also see a little bit of brain degradation as it gets past 5.5. So even if you guys may not flag on a doctor's level yet, but at levels of 5.5 and above is where the damage tends to begin. And then mitochondrial dysfunction, man, like everything comes back here. Mitochondria, bringing you guys back to high school biology, is where we create energy, or the vast majority of our energy. All cells, except for red blood cells in our body, have mitochondria, and they're responsible for producing ATP, which is our energy substrate. The production of cholesterol and then the sex hormones begins in the mitochondria. So, like, if you guys have poor aerobic capacity, this can play a role. So when we have metabolic or mitochondrial dysfunction, it tends to lead to poor testosterone status as well. And simply if we're over fat, genuinely, there is an inflammatory response that occurs within fat cells when they become too enlarged and inflamed. So those signaling molecules signal to test to, for us to lower testosterone. What whether you well, you might find it interesting. Testosterone is immunosuppressive, right? So it lowers our immune system. Do I would think, and I've never seen research on this, but would it make sense? I think the body does most of things on purpose. I don't think it does things by mistake. If the body is inflamed and it's assesses or it thinks there's slight disease within the body, do you think it lowers testosterone on purpose? I would say probably. So in that circumstance, do you think it'd be beneficial to inject it from the outside in? Probably not. Be best to deal with the low with whatever the problem is first. And then you'll see adrenals. So adrenals is just can be just associated with cortisol and stress. So with high stress levels or our inability to be able to deal with stress, you'll tend to see a drop in testosterone for a lot of people. Stress is patient to zero. I've seen the phrase being used a few times for a lot of different conditions. Low testosterone, it can be cardiovascular disease, it can be a major role in it can be plays a major role in pretty much all the diseases of Western civilization. So if you can think in that circumstance, are any of these true issues for you? So does anybody here have high blood sugar that they know of? Does anyone here, is their blood sugar above 5.5? That's a marker of your blood sugar over 120 days. Does anybody know?
Yeah, I do this pet.
Hold on one second, sir. I'll come out so I can see you.
I don't have the video on. I'm doing some home improvement and I'm trying to do some work at the house too.
No problem. Who is it?
This is Patrick Bruce.
Ah, Patrick, yeah. Sure, we're working on that. You've been working on that really effectively.
Yeah, it was 6'1" when I started down to, well, 5.7, 5.6 now, but it turns up the tide and the diet. So, and I've done about 20% body fat too. So that's all helping.
Oh, yeah, Patrick, you absolutely smashed it, in fairness. Really elevated blood pressure, really elevated HbA1c when he started, had the added benefit of tirzepatide as well, which is one of the GLP-1 agonists, so the newer version of Ozempic, and it's worked amazingly well for you. And you can see, like, if you saw the pictures of Patrick, he looks about 20 years younger. So well done. But like, you continue on that process, it will get below 5.5. Does anyone else know their HbA1c off the top of their heads? No? Okay. Let's get back to it. We've already been here. So things to understand, I just want to say these briefly because we're going to touch on supplements a little bit later down the line, and some of them will play on some of these mechanisms. So some of you guys may have heard of mitostatin inhibited cows. Have you ever seen those hugely muscly cows? So they've been genetically bred to have knockout of myostatin. Myostatin is, like it says, there's a myokine that's released to control the amount of muscle growth that we have. It has an inverse relationship with testosterone. So we can use supplementation to lower myostatin, and not dramatically. It's not something you want to knock out. Then you'll see, like, aromatase is the enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen, which in high amounts isn't a good thing. And then you'll see, which I see quite regularly when I look at blood tests, is SHBG, so sex hormone binding globulin. So we have total testosterone in the blood test. It's the total amount of testosterone within our body, but most of it is bound either by sex hormone binding globulin or albumin, right? Now, We need a certain amount of that to be free, so it's active at the cell. So sometimes you see people with really high SHBG, so all of the testosterone is bound up and it can't do anything. It's not bioavailable at the cell. So like there is ways that you can lower that. And then there's what's called the androgen receptor. So that's the receptor on the cell of, in this case, probably good for us guys at the muscle. And we can't test for that, but we know in some people they just have a really weak androgen receptor. So even if they have slightly higher amounts of testosterone, it doesn't work fairly well. So we can play on some of this stuff to try and get testosterone to work a little bit better. This is a really tricky question, but there's some things I think that's often neglected for a lot of people in regards to diet and testosterone. Vegetables is a major one. Like in the bodybuilding world or in muscle building world that we all live in, right? We often neglect vegetables because it's not protein and it's hard to get loads of calories from, and it just takes up a massive amount of volume on our plate. But it has things in it that will. That are known aromatase inhibitors, for example. So indole-3-carbinol and DIM will help to lower aromatase. And resveratrol in grapes and berries has been shown to inhibit aromatase as well. But also, like, they lower oxidative stress, they lower inflammation. So a selection of vegetables is really key. You guys know the protein argument. It's like flogging a dead horse at this stage, but it does reduce myostatin. Right, so we'll help increase mTOR and increase testosterone. This is because if someone has a really high blood sugar problem, the diet's going to be slightly different than someone who's really, really lean with low testosterone. But looking at like tea plates have been shown to be really effective, genuinely, especially in overweight population. That has low testosterone. So it's like half their plate from vegetables, a quarter from meat, a quarter from starchy carbs, and adequate and balanced fats seems to be a really effective way for people to increase their testosterone levels. It's just worth noting, it's very hard to think of a gold standard meal for testosterone. But I would definitely say for most of you guys, vegetables is the things that are often neglected. Now, these are some of the really big things that we can play on. Think about this: stress and cortisol. It makes good adaptive sense that testosterone's behavior influenced in an emergency situation gets blocked because engaging in behaviors that are encouraged by testosterone, such as mating, competition, and aggression during an imminent survival situation could be fatal. I found this really interesting. So, like the evolutionary reasons why, if you're really stressed, why you shouldn't have high testosterone. So, if you're adaptive wise, if you're living in a hut somewhere and something happens, you shouldn't, if it's a real issue and a threat to your survival, you shouldn't be doing anything dangerous or aggressive in that situation. It's why cortisol tends to become the major dominant hormone. And over time, you can see testosterone levels and cortisol levels are antagonist. So they oppose each other. So when we're chronically stressed and we're underslept and we're eating bad food, it's one of the major reasons as to why our testosterone drops. So finding modalities for a lot of you guys is probably the biggest influence that you can make. Modalities to lower stress. Now, stress can come from external reasons, right? So, like the food we put in our mouth, right? You swap a Western style diet for vegetables and meat, you'll make a big difference at dropping cortisol because you're not incorporating that external stress. But also how you deal with stress is really important. And then also finding ways to naturally lower it. So whether that's adequate sleep, meditation, sunlight, breath work, whatever it is, but finding ways to lower cortisol levels, particularly at the end of a day. I know it's difficult in work environments to be able to have no stress, but we can also find ways to modulate it. You sleep less than 5.5 hours, you've got 60% less muscle mass. That's an easy way to look at it. So partial sleep restricted, 1 week, 24-hour testosterone down by 15%. All men who slept for 4 hours had an average of 200 to 300 nanograms per deciliter. That's technically hypogonadalism. So like that's lab low. Was highly correlated. So people who slept more was highly correlated with higher total and free testosterone levels. Each extra hour they slept after five, I think that was, we saw a 15% increase in testosterone. Who here, I would say, chronically sleeps less than 7 hours? Don't be afraid. It's okay. Is there anybody here that chronically sleeps less than that? Robert, is that just recently?
Probably it's just my early gym time. I probably struggle to get probably somewhere between 6 and 7 most nights.
Like 6 and 7 isn't the worst. I prefer, I always reach for that 7 with most people, 8 if we can. Well, it could be having an influence here. And then I would obviously think on the days where you're not going to the gym, making sure that you are getting adequate sleep in that. But then again, like sleep quality obviously plays a role here as well. Is anybody here
And
less than
the
six?
Andrew has been pushing it pretty hard with me. So what I've been doing is trying to do my weights Monday, Wednesday, Friday, where I do my early sessions, and then my zone two cardio days, just try to get in at lunch or something, so I can just bank an extra hour or two of sleep those few days a week. So it kind of brings my weekly average up.
That's ideal. And it's why like we bash that. We try to anyway bash that into people's heads. Like, remember having a client for quite a long time, and he would get to a certain level of leanness every time we cut. And he always wanted to push further. So he was getting to about 15% quite regularly. He always just wanted to get to 10. And within reason, like it didn't matter. Like he slept about 3, 4 hours a night, and it didn't matter. And he's adherent. Like there's a lot of times you look at a client and you go, "You're just not doing what you say you're doing." This guy, I knew he was doing it, and he just couldn't get below that 15% mark without going so aggressive with a caloric deficit. But he wouldn't take the sleep side of things seriously. So it does play a big role, not just like you said in testosterone levels, but in overall health. It'll be interesting to see. It was spoken about recently. I heard it on a podcast. Like, do you know the way like food restriction is a good thing for long periods of time? Getting exposed to cold, getting exposed to heat. I wonder if sleep restriction at any stage will ever become a health modality. I doubt it, but now. There are some supplements that we can play with here. And these are not, I didn't want to go down the traditional route. I wanted to show you guys research that's shown on mechanistically what they do. And some of these are might be interesting for a lot of you. Like a lot of you guys probably take an omega-3. You've probably heard of zinc supplementation as an opportunity, particularly in those who are low in zinc. Creatine increases DHT and testosterone by itself, especially when you find guys who are, you'll hear the genetic SNP, MTHFR deficient, because methylation, I believe, is, I think it's 60% of methylation is just for the production of creatine. So if you are in that circumstance and you supplement with creatine, you see quite dramatic increases in testosterone. Resveratrol from wine or supplementation lowers aromatase. You can see, you look at vitamin D and what it does, increases androgen receptor sites or the sensitivity, lowers myostatin, lowers the stuff that binds testosterone and also increases testosterone, particularly if you're deficient in it. And even guys living in sunny states, sunny countries, like vitamin D is just chronically low in so many people when you look at blood tests. And then surprisingly, L-carnitine. L-carnitine is normally thought of as a fat loss supplement. doesn't do much for fat loss. It helps us to use fats for fuel, but overall doesn't seem to have a dramatic effect on overall fat loss in the studies that it was done in, but seems to really sensitize the androgen receptor in people. So even if you have normal testosterone, but you're showing symptoms of low testosterone, which can happen, something like L-carnitine can be really, really helpful in that circumstance. So if you look at these, there's nothing sexy there at all. Magnesium, the reason why I put in there, not so much research on it, but just because of its role with magnesium or with vitamin D could play a role. But like I said, there's nothing sexy there. I would say for most guys, don't wait for a supplement to fix your testosterone problem. Bar once, I've never seen someone supplement their way out of it. One guy did it. I think it was just a one-off test, but neither here nor there. But he did show that he got himself, I believe, from like 250 to 600. Very little change in diet, but just used a lot of different supplements. I don't expect to see that often, and I've never seen it again since. So this is a much more, I think, appropriate way to try and fix testosterone deficiency. But also you have to look at the lifestyle factors. They play the biggest role by far if you're already eating a good diet. So that's my end of it in terms of talking. Anything there that you see as the major lever that you can pull? I know, Robert, you spoke about sleep, so obviously a big deal, and probably the biggest lever you can pull if you can find the time. I understand children just rob you of that time, but it is what it is. Anybody else? Is there something that you can really, really try and influence through that? Don't say heavy metals, because if you don't have tested for it, you don't know if you have heavy metals.
Hey Greg, I think mine was controlling the blood sugar. I'll be interested to see what it is later when we test, but getting the blood sugar down consistently. And I got the Oura Ring working with Chris to get better sleep quality for years and years, 20, 30 years. It was 4 or 5 hours of sleep and not a very conducive diet.
Yeah, no, like I mean, you've made such dramatic changes. It will be really interesting to see when we test next where everything how everything has responded. Jeff, how much are you sleeping a night?
I think it's pretty variable, probably similar to Rob, average 6, 7 hours, but there are nights when it's like bare six, and then usually try to either make it up on a different night, or lots of times weekends become like the time to catch up. So
You have to travel for work, don't you, Jeff?
right now I have some basically 2 hour drive once a day. And so I either do that in the morning or in the evening. So depending on when I'm starting at work, sometimes I'm getting up a little bit earlier than average. But
Yeah, like,
yeah.
but there's some cool research, and I don't know if anyone's seen, like, I know Huberman has made it fairly popular, but I did go through the research on it. It's like non-sleep deep rest seems to actually be really effective. So, you know, that ability to be able to lie down and it's almost sleep for like 20 to 30 minutes. So just closing your eyes seems to have a big role. Because I do that generally. Like if I get really tired in the middle of the day, I'll just lie down for 20 minutes if I can. And it does make a huge difference to my energy levels. And where it plays on testosterone, I don't know. But it could be a method for the guys who like it's a time thing rather than an ability thing. Then it could be an effective way to try and catch up. Has anyone else got any questions or anything that they want to go through? It doesn't necessarily have to involve testosterone. It can involve whatever you guys want.
I know that my free testosterone was on the low side, but my total was normal. Any suggestions for that?
It's di so, Chaz, you were slightly, and I don't normally say this, slightly, I would say, robbed of your prescription, because you had low free, and your total, you used testosterone replacement for a long time, and then it was taken from you, and but your total is still only like 320, so like it's still low. It's just a tiny bit above reference range.
Yeah.
I can't, so I will. What might be a good idea for us, actually, because I know I have blood tests from you, is I'll go through your blood tests again and see if there's anything that we can really pull out of that in order to see if we can get those levels back up a certain amount. How old are you, Chaz?
66.
It can be difficult at that age, but it's definitely worth a try. So I'll look at that stuff tomorrow and see if we can come up with a general idea for you.
Thank you.
Okay, no probs. Anybody else have any questions? Ooh. Yeah. I would love your thoughts. What do you say is the most common environmental exposure impacting testosterone, plastic, processed food? I know, and I'm not a so. I'm not super anti-pesticides like you do find in the industry a lot, but glyphosate has quite a potent role in lowering testosterone. So in the area that this is obviously, is it causal? They don't know, but in the areas that have the highest levels of glyphosate, you do tend to see the lowest levels of testosterone on average. The heavy metals play a huge role. So when you look at mercury in particular, if you look at cadmium is one of the reasons why cigarette smoking tends to drop testosterone quite dramatically. So glyphosate, mercury, cadmium, surprisingly rocket fuel, I can't remember the molecular term for it, play a major role there. So like what we get from airplanes a lot as well, do play a role. Now, how do you avoid some of those things? It's difficult. Now, home environments play a role. Mercury you'll get from eating a lot of large fish. So tuna fish tends to have quite high levels of mercury comparable to other fish. In terms of cadmium, I mentioned is mostly cigarette smoke. But you do see high cadmium in certain people, and they'd be the major things. Now, plastics is, I would say, still very up for debate in terms of what it's doing yet. So the one thing you'll say about plastic, it's a forever compound, right? That basically never degrades. And I had this conversation with the actually one of my clients, but that was his PhD was in regards to plastic and environmental pollution. And the reason why it's so stable and lasts for so long is because it's so unreactive. Now I doubt taking in dramatic amounts of it is a good idea. But I don't know if it's that big overarching concern that people might think it is. I just don't think we know yet. What am I talking about? Vegetable, fruit, substances. I think in terms of vitamins and minerals, yeah, it's helpful. I think it's been massively overtouted for what it does. Massively. I think there's a guy, you know, like the evidence, and I don't know why I'm putting in inverted commas, but you know, like the evidence-based people that you find online, they hammer Huberman for this now. Hammer him for it because they're like, he used to have such cool podcasts, and now all of a sudden he's selling AGE1 because it has very little research behind its efficacy. So I probably take a multivitamin, multi-mineral over taking one of those. Anybody else have any questions?
I mean, that's great news because every single one of those green shakes tastes absolutely terrible.
Oh man, do you remember when
I don't
they first,
care.
remember when
I
they
even
first
tried
came out?
AG1 and they're like, it's great tasting. I'm like, to freaking who? This is
They've
horrible. You can't
gotten
put
so
Highlight of
much
that.
better, man. They've gotten so much better. It was like when we first got exposed to protein powder, and you used to have to drink it over the sink because it would make you gag. Like, that's what they were like 10 years ago. They've gotten better. I still
Yeah,
wouldn't
I
pick
probably
one.
tried like probably about 10 years ago. I tried like a spirulina and kale blend, and you just can't drink it.
No, they were vile. Now, it's like, it's in fairness, some of the single nutrients, like spirulina, for example, has some really cool properties. So, like, even in terms of reducing gout, it's really, really effective. Even at like binding to mercury has quite some affinity to heavy metals. So some of them in isolation at higher dosages seem to be beneficial. I just don't think the combination comparable to actually eating fruit and vegetables has much benefit. Anything else, gents?
What's the dosing you would do on spirulina?
Oh, good question. What are you using it for?
Just general health.
Teaspoon is the last time, and I know that's a crappy thing to say, but like anytime I've dosed for like high uric acid with quite efficacy, it's been a teaspoon. I can't remember the gram level, Jeff, off the top of my head. We good, gents? All right, fellas. Lovely to see you all, and I'll see you all in a few
Greg,
weeks.
I got one more question for you.
No probs.
The Designs for Health, I'm just having a bugger trying to get in and get my account set up. It's wanting a practitioner code.
So when you, I'll drop you a voice note as soon as we're off the call, and I'll guide you through it, because did you click the link that I sent you?
I did.
And that does, because that should allow you then to set up under Ben as the practitioner. Yeah, I'll drop you a voice note as soon as we're off, okay?
Okay, you got it.
All right.
Okay,
Have a
thanks.
good